And good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The Education Ministry says it will hold another special recruitment of new teachers, this to address the current shortage of teachers nationwide, especially in the subjects of Bahasa Melayu, English and Islamic Studies. Will a one-off recruitment solve the shortage of teachers once and for all? Joining me on the show tonight is Shanaz Al-Sadat. She is the chairperson and co-founder of the educational social enterprise Leap Ed Services. Shanaz, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm quite curious to know, or to better understand, what you think are some of the root causes of the teacher shortage issue in Malaysia.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me here today. But I guess, I mean, the root causes of teacher shortage, I think I just want to debunk a couple of myths around teachers. One is people think that teachers is an easy job. It's actually a professional job. Mm-hmm. It's highly technical. I would put them the same pedestal as even lawyers, accountants and doctors, who you would never put to do whatever they need to do without qualification, without training and experience. The other bit is that sometimes people say, be teacher easy, kan? 1 o'clock, you can go home. I have been working with thousands of teachers in the last 10 years, and 95% of them really have no working hours, as in they are literally dedicating their life to this profession, sometimes to the detriment of their family, actually, and then to their own pocket. They actually put in money and all that. So it's really not an easy job. And I personally feel that it is actually one of the hardest jobs in the world. So with that in mind, okay, looking at what is actually needed in our system, this is not a short-term thing, something that you have to plan, actually. And I think one of the issues I think the Malaysia suffers a little bit, I have to say, is because of the policy flip-flopping. Because you're planning ahead. I mean, when I came into the education space about 10 years ago, PPSMI was just reversed, for example. And you're flooded with maths and science teachers who've been trained in English. And suddenly you get into school, now they have to actually teach in Bahasa Malaysia. I think half of them probably became English teachers instead, which is probably a good thing. But but some of this does actually affect the issue around these shortages. But I must say, based on my experience going to school, about 99% of time, and I think this is diligent by MOE, is that the numbers, so if the school needs 70 teachers, there is 70 teachers. If the school needs 100 teachers, there is 100 teachers. Our problem in the education space, we talk about option, which is the subject, right? The problem is that the bodies are there, but it's a mismatch. So they train in something else, they're teaching something else, right? And this, unfortunately, I mean, I don't fault anyone because nobody has a crystal ball. And so sometimes you do make some forecasting and you have to make some assumptions around in and out. Like how many teachers would stay, how many teachers would retire, things like that. And actually, some of the areas is because teachers themselves, because they want to stay in a particular locality, even though they say maybe they are English teacher, but that locality actually requires Bahasa Malaysia or requires a maths. Sometimes they rather teach that because they want to stay, they want to remain.
Right. So
this issue is not yesterday's issue. It's been going around for the last 10 years. Or more, actually. So you will then see this mismatch is happening. Actually, quantity-wise, only the Sekolah Pendalaman, I think, suffers from the quantity issue. Our issue is that there's a mismatch.
Okay. So for the urban areas, this mismatch that you're talking about of what they're trained in versus what they're teaching, I understand that, it's very difficult to predict some of the fluctuations of where the demand and the supply is going to be. But is there a way to better forecast this, to better plan this? And what are some of the short-term measures that might kind of be stopgap measures while there are long-term measures being implemented?
Yeah. Certainly, I think anything we do, there's always areas for improvement and you continuously improve it. I think one of the things, particularly in the short term, really I think we should just critically look about, because we should enable teachers if they need to move options. right? So how do you then support these teachers actually in making that transition? This is something I think we haven't really thought through systematically. Because for me, I rather spend time actually supporting them because they're already in the system. Mm-hmm. Rather than spending time recruiting new teachers who has to go through the training and qualification and experience, right? So this one is that they already have the some of the experience, but just how do you then, you know, enable them or make that transition to different kind of options? So for me, in the short term, it's something definitely we can achieve.
Is it very difficult, based on your understanding, for teachers to switch options?
Well, I mean, it does depends on the category. Like, so if you are, your option is like STEM, between maths and science, I mean, there is that mobility, you can. For example, if you're a language, then between, you know, the languages, you can. Between the arts, you can. Now, moving maybe STEM to language, actually not so easy. But it has been done in the system. I've seen it.
Okay, all right. Shanaz, I have to ask you, do you think there is awareness among policymakers about some of the different issues that you pointed to? The issue of this being really a professional job, therefore you need to recruit the kind of best talent. The issue of training, making it easier to switch options, the mismatch between training and teaching, the disparity between teacher location in the rural and urban area, the disparity in distribution. I mean, do you think that they're aware of all these issues? And is there a diagnosis being done about what's happening?
Well, everything that I said is not exactly original from me. I think quite a fair bit of this is actually written in the blueprint analysis that we actually have. Okay. So I wouldn't think that they don't know. But I guess a question on prioritization, right? Sorry to sound a bit consultant-ish here, but when you prioritize and you determine it based on parameters. So if you put on the y-axis and says that it's ease of implementation and the x-axis is impact, it depends on what you're choosing, right? So if you want ease of implementation, then for me, yes, deal with the quantity is the easiest. Bring them in, right? Mm. But if you're looking at impact, you have to deal with the quality issue. And you have 400,000 plus teachers already in the system. Okay, so how do you support that? That's tougher, actually, right? And honestly, I think Malaysia-wise, if I just take a step back and look at the life cycle for teachers. So there's a recruitment that's coming in. And then there's a deployment. That means how do they get deployed to be in front of classroom? And then the in-service continuous professional development. So just like accountants, you know, you have to keep on updated with the new standards, with the la, 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 and all that. Now, in all these three areas, I hate to say this, that we are not the strongest. Okay, for the last 10 years. And what you see right now is actually a consequence of not being strong. Recruitment, for example, quality parameters is what we need to use. And honestly, structure is there. And this one, it's not just an MOE play, it's a government play. Because there is an independent Suruhanjaya that is supposed to be the champion for quality. So they go around recruiting. But if you identify quality as, for example, like mindset, right? Some inclinations are looking at your worldview, right? Kind of things, right? Not just skills. Then you will actually, if you want to start shifting later when they come, it's actually easier because you're looking, you know, the foundational character. But today, I think they're still recruiting based, or if you come from IPG, Institute Pendidikan Guru, you're for sure, you get a job. But if you come from university, faculty of education, I don't know, maybe secondary. Teach from Malaysia, maybe tertiary, you know? So that's not what you should do. You should actually recruit based on quality, not based on who is training them, but based on the quality. Second, in the deployment and transition, Malaysia is a bit behind here because like UK and Australia, there's a lot around not just you're qualified, but are you ready to be in front of the kids in the classroom or not? Okay, so there is actually an assessment for this. Because just like accountants, I mean, I'm an accountant, I speak a lot as an accountant, because when I got deployed, after I'm qualified, I'm never alone, I have a team, right? But in school, we will put that teacher right in front of that 40 kids with no support. I mean, you know, deploying and transition is really a weak issue. And then the third bit is continuous in-service. It's only the last 3-4 years, I think, that MOE has identified a specific IPG, Institute Pendidikan Guru, that deals with in-service, right? It's only the last 2-3 years, if I'm not mistaken. 5 years the most. So it's really, really new.
So in-service, you mean giving them professional development and support whilst they are in the classroom? Okay.
Even their technical content, so by the options, for example, right? Because things change, right? You know, your content will change. So how do you make sure your teachers is always up to date or always like ahead of curve in a way, so that they're always anticipating rather than right now, we are firefighting.
Okay. All right. I like that point that right now we're firefighting and it feels like we've been firefighting quite a long time for our education system. How can we, you know, in the couple minutes that we have left with you, what are some of the things that you would like to see very quickly done to address this? Is that one-off recruitment drive going to be an effective solution for what has been a perennial problem?
Absolutely not. I think right now, if you have limited space in terms of time and resources, quality of the education, quality of the teachers that is currently in the system, I think that's where we need to accelerate, actually. We need to help our teachers. Post-COVID, the study we did post-COVID, the variability between the students in the classroom, between the good and the bad, is actually has widened. So for a teacher, that is really stressing your skills. How do I do assessment for learning? How do I do differentiation? So I think we really, really need to quickly have a strategy around upskilling this. And and I do not want to put this all on MOE shoulder. I think government need to take this as quality of education as actually their mandate or their priority. I understand the current priority, which is very today's problem, but education is a tomorrow's problem. So if you don't put it, if you don't support MOE to do this part, they will prioritize things that's easy to implement rather than it's impactful.
Shahnaz, thank you so much for speaking with me. I appreciate your time. Shahnaz Al-Sadat, the chairperson of Leap Ed Services, going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about the current the shortage of teachers. What needs to be done to address the issue at its root causes? Joining me now is Chan Sun Singh. He's the Chief Executive Officer at Teach for Malaysia. Sun Singh, thank you so much for joining me on the show. The issue of a shortage of teachers, that's not a new issue. It's not a new problem. We know that it's been happening for quite some time. But I'm wondering what your assessment of the situation is. How do you view this issue?
Yeah, it's good to be here, Melissa. You know, I think that, like you said, we've had this issue of teacher shortages for a very long time. And I think one of the big challenges with this issue is the fact that we have a very, very highly centralized system, which means that every teacher that's recruited into the system is recruited at the federal level. So at the Putrajaya level through the Education Service Commission. And then that they get then placed through a trickle-down system where an allocation is then sent to states, to districts, and then allocated to schools. So in many other decentralized systems in the world, principals actually have the right to hire and fire their teachers. So they select and recruit at the school level. But Malaysia is different in the sense that we're very, very centralized, and which means that one body, or at least the federal level, has to then account for every single vacancy across the entire system. And if you can imagine a system of 400,000 plus teachers, trying to figure out all the minute vacancies is a massive challenge. And so what ends up happening is that you might actually have recruited all the vacancies that exist, but shortages then exist at every sort of level, at the state level, at the district level, the school level, at a subject level. So when I was a teacher, even though we had enough teachers in my school, we didn't have enough English teachers, for example. Mm. Although the quota of teachers in my school was full.
Well, that subject-specific, yes, shortage seems to be an issue. We see that English, Bahasa Malaysia, Islamic studies. I think there are some other topics that are subjects that you see shortages of teachers in. You are referring to a time lag between the vacancy, the acknowledgement of the vacancy, and the filling of that vacancy, Soon Seng. What can be done to address that time lag? I'm thinking in particular because there is a time lag also when it comes to training teachers, right? It takes a long time to train teachers and then to recruit them and to have them ready to be in front of a classroom. As Teach for Malaysia does a lot of that training, how do you see that time lag contributing to the problem?
Yeah, so there are a couple of challenges with the mismatch. So one of the challenges that the ministry faces is that at the secondary school level, candidates are taken in from public universities, and public universities don't necessarily intake candidates based on the Ministry of Education's requirements or projections for what will be needed in the future. The challenge of projecting, but the challenge again of a centralized system is that projecting your needs in a very minute way or a very granular way into the future can also be an extremely massive challenge, because you're not sure where to account for at the most granular level. So a couple of things that can be done, right? So I think number one is really this piece of how do you align the university intake alongside the MOE's projections. But the reality is also that the Ministry of Education is not going to be able to accurately predict the future down to the granular level. And that's where programs like Teach for Malaysia can come in. So for example, Teach for Malaysia has partnered with the Ministry of Education to recruit, you know, really promising and diverse leaders to go into the classroom. They don't have education backgrounds, but we can place them immediately into the classroom through an employment-based training model. And so what happens is that they go through a very short pre-service program. They go straight into the schools based on the vacancies that the Ministry of Education has. And we work with the Ministry of Education historically to provide a diploma to qualify these teachers and provide very, very high touch training and support throughout 2 years to ensure that they are placed in the classroom, but qualified and supported to be able to meet the needs of their students from day one at a very, very high quality. And so that's an example of how the ministry could, in the short term, address some of these challenges.
When we look at the current methods of how the government is seeking to address the teacher shortage, there's one-off recruitment, special recruitments, there are proposals of relief teachers being hired. What do you make of these types of measures, Soon Seng?
Yeah, you know, I think ultimately at the end of the day, the thing that we need to ensure is the quality of teachers in the classroom. Some of the challenges with some of the one-off teacher intakes is that some of the teachers either might have been education graduates, but haven't been in the classroom for a very long time since they've graduated. So there's about two or three years of just being rusty of being a teacher in the classroom. Another challenge is that the Ministry of Education recruited over 2,000 non-education graduates, and placing them into the classroom without the kind of support and high-touch support like Teach for Malaysia provides can be challenging in terms of assuring the quality of these teachers. So with all of these different schemes, it's really, really important to ensure that these teachers are set up to be able to be successful in the classroom and provide the kind of learning quality that their students deserve. And so that means a lot of training, a lot of support and handholding for these teachers, even those of education graduates, because they need a refresher about what students need right now in this moment.
Well, Shana's earlier pointed to the fact that there needs to be more in-service training. Is that something is that what you're referring to, Soon Seng?
Absolutely, absolutely. And also part of the reality of education is that it's shifting so quickly. And so to keep up with the needs of industry, to keep up with the needs of the future of the workplace, the future of jobs, we need to equip our teachers to be really, really agile to move with those things. So even if you recruit in these teachers, for example, these guys that might've graduated years ago, but haven't had a placement, and you recruit them into the Ministry of Education, what they learned when they were in teacher training and teacher training institute may be completely out of date. And so we constantly need to update and provide teachers with the kind of in-service development that they need to keep up.
Well, you mentioned earlier that Teach for Malaysia can play a role in helping, you know, help fill some of that teacher shortage that we're seeing in within the system. Is that a possibility? Are you optimistic that could be one of the solutions that the government adopts? And I'm wondering whether there's a role for other stakeholders to play beyond the ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Teach for Malaysia has partnered with the Ministry of Education for the last 10 years, and we were very grateful for that partnership, but that's been a kind of a small drop in the ocean in the thousands of teachers that the Ministry of Education needs. And so we are very, very open and would love to work with the ministry to expand the number of people that we do bring into the system. And that's an example of a public-private partnership that the ministry has had, right? So Teach for Malaysia is partially funded by corporate and individual donors alongside the support from the Ministry of Education, and that then allows us to bring in more diverse talent into the system. And I think that that there are more avenues for that. And I think that the Ministry of Education working in closer partnership with the universities, the teacher training institutes, is something that can really help. And I also think exploring more innovative models of teacher training. So for example, now it'll take you anywhere between 1 to 5 years of pre-service training before getting coming into the system. Another challenge is that the Ministry of Education made a choice to only intake students from public universities or overseas universities. 47% of Malaysian tertiary students are in private education. Mm-hmm. And so really opening up that pool of where students can apply from will be really helpful. And working in closer partnership with universities, public, private universities, to project demand, but also create more innovative employment-based modules or models of teacher training like Teach for Malaysia can be helpful.
Is there a role for the schools themselves at a more granular level for school leaders to participate or to help address the time lag that it takes to address the teacher shortage?
Absolutely. You know, I think that in the long term, we really, really need to think thoughtfully about how we empower school leaders to have the authority to recruit their teachers. And that may not mean like tomorrow, okay, all school principals, you can go off and recruit all the teachers you need. But for critical roles, we may create, there may be a provision to at least begin to create space for school principals or even the district level to recruit teachers. There is some flexibility with this now, with the GRU interim scheme, where states can appoint teachers, but it's very challenging in the long run to have this be a sustainable module. That doesn't mean that we should completely decentralize recruitment and selection of teachers. In rural areas, it can be very, very challenging to recruit people. And this is where federal schemes that make it more attractive to go into rural areas can be very, very important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, I do believe we need to shift towards a more decentralized form of recruitment and selection of teachers.
Can I ask you what happens if this issue isn't addressed in the long term? I mean, what are the implications of a teacher shortage, particularly in some specific subjects? How does that affect the learning outcomes for students?
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, in the long term, the teacher shortage in the grand scheme of things is a very, very small amount. It's about 4%+.
Right.
Of the teachers that we need. And so actually, I think one of the things that we need to focus on it to overcome the teacher shortage is really this idea that in Malaysia, the Ministry of Education is the largest ministry in Malaysia. It receives the largest portion of the budget, and the majority of that budget goes to teacher or Ministry of Education salaries. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot more to be done in really unlocking the potential of our teachers. So the reality is that and we've heard this time and time again, right? Teacher burden, teacher administrative workload is huge in Malaysia. And if we look at the amount of time the average teacher in Malaysia works, so the OECD runs a teacher survey called TALIS. And what they found in the countries that were surveyed, which Malaysia participated in, is that Malaysian teachers work more hours than the average teacher globally, but we teach less hours than the average teacher. So Malaysian teachers on average work more than 45 hours a week, which is more than the standard 9 to 5, but they only teach around 17 hours a week. And the reality is that a huge chunk of their time is spent on administrative work, on school management work, or on other activities. And there's a lot more that we can do to unlock the potential of our teachers by reducing this burden and giving them more space and time to focus on teaching. And when we allow that, we can actually then overcome some of these challenges of teacher shortages by just allowing our teachers to do more of what they're passionate about, which is teaching. So I think that when we think long term, yes, the shortage is important to close the gap, but if we want a more sustainable and a better use of our money and our teachers' passion, it's really about reforming the teaching profession to ensure that we're unlocking the potential of all of our teachers.
Soon Seng, it is always so enlightening to talk to you. I want to thank you so much for your time and joining me on the show. That was Chan Soon Seng from Teach for Malaysia, and that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.